by schnookums, that'd be great.
Yeah. No tentacle invading schnookums.
Oh, I'm not reading that out.
It says here it's horror. I don't get that.
Well, that's the top of the page, yeah.
Well, read about the, in the middle paragraph that's in blue.
Hang on, do you want me to find the YouTube?
No, it's the one on YouTube, really.
Well, no, I thought you'd have to go to...
I've seen that film.
What? Yeah. You've seen this film?
You have seen that.
Yeah, Ruto Kadoji, yeah.
Have you actually seen it? No, seriously.
No, seriously.
Well, I've got copies of DVD upstairs.
It's a flying monster that has sex with women while they fly. I've actually seen it. It's a manga film. I've actually seen it.
Right, cool. Has it got much of a plot?
No, it's just
technical. Just told it to you.
The only thing I'll tell you is the uncensored version has got a very interesting camera shot.
Okay. What's the Jew? Yeah. Well, I don't get the Star of David in it. What's that going to do with it? Is he Jewish or something?
Ruto Kadoji. Yeah, I've seen this. But, this is great. It's a good film.
But is he Jewish?
No. It
was thing like one of the Jewish heroes who slayed tentacles who had sex with women.
Well, his tentacles come out of his hand and he uses his hand to do things to women. It's right. Very strange.
You know how tentacle porn became a thing, right?
Yeah, Jeff discovered it and he posted it on the internet.
Yep. Whose pussy was that?
Oh, that would be mine.
Grab it, quickly.
For the tentacles.
Come here, Nightshade. Ewan has something for you.
That's it. Alice has got it. Legend of the Overfiend. That's the one. I'll tell you which bit it is. It's. I'll tell you which... I'll tell you the exact time. It's not there.
Who's playing it? You're playing it. The in-depth knowledge that Alistair and Wrighty have shown about tentacle porn is unnerving, I have to say.
Yeah. It's early on, is it? He's doing the girl on the floor, and then the flying girl's doing it.
Turn it down.
It's one of my claims to fame, as I wrote the sleeve notes of 41 of these...
11 minutes 36
seconds. Did you?
Awesome. That was one of them, and the sequel.
Did you really?
Yeah.
You did?
What? Oh,
that's cool. I'll have to get your signature later.
You had to buy the film first.
Hello, welcome to the big show. It's amazing the shit you find out listening to this show, because I've recorded all of that. Alistair Dowd wrote the sleeve notes for tentacle porn. Who knew? Who knew?
That's the most awesome thing I've heard all
day. It is. He's my hero now.
Oh, yeah.
The week in tech, what's going on? What's been big? What's happening? It's what a great week it's been, especially if you wanted a Withings HR. But you didn't want it this week, anyway, because I think they run it like a Kickstarter. When did you get it?
Probably 3 to 4 weeks.
I noticed you couldn't do the mic technique there. Patrice had to help you out.
Yeah, 3 to 4 weeks.
3 to 4 weeks. It's a Kickstarter project. Joining me to discuss the week in tech, we have got a stuffed and fabulous panel this week, and none of them are American stuffed, as in Thanksgiving. Alistair, starting us off, how are you doing, pal?
Well, I'm fine, thank you very much. How are you?
Excellent, mate. Yes,
no. How's each and every one of you watching this?
each and every one is actually overestimating our numbers. by some distance, I feel. What's been happening, mate? What have you been doing with your week?
What have I been doing with my week? Well, mostly working, so I've had my head down.
Good luck.
Yeah.
We like that. What can mortgage. I say? We can do that.
Writing, pitching, being turned down. Pitch. Just the usual week, really.
Pitching. Good. Next to him, it's Jeffrey.
And how are you?
I bet
I sound better now.
You do. What's happened?
I realized I was on the wrong microphone, thanks to our ever-observant chat room.
Okay, good, good. That's right. So that's fine. That's why we heard your pussy and not...
not and not someone else's. Dynamic.
Yes, no, not someone else. How was your cruise, dude?
Cruise was wonderful. Holy crap. It was wonderful. And I learned I love snorkeling. So, and that's not a euphemism.
No, okay.
Turns out I just really love snorkeling.
Based on the start of the tentacle porn, but yeah, that's not surprising.
But, you know, it could be euphemism.
Where did you cruise around?
Barbados, Martinique, St. Martin, St. Kitts, and St. Thomas.
That's a good list. You weren't drinking, obviously, then.
I have a good memory.
Okay.
Did you see anything with tentacles?
Why, yes, I did.
Did you touch them?
Why, yes, I did.
Oh, give over. Right.
Actually, do you want me to show you my tentacle?
No.
Please don't.
Just the one.
One I don't want to be pretentious.
I'm not sure. This is a family show. No, where am I kidding?
You know what we're saying, cruising? Are we on about boats? Or?
Yeah, we're not talking about...
Don't tell them. I want you to wonder.
We're not talking cottaging or anything. It's not... That's oh, my life. And we haven't drunk. There's not a drop of alcohol been drunk tonight.
I had a pint.
There we go. Bad news. Beneath Jeff, it is Alan Heschel. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. Yeah, the...
Recovering from your piss-up from last week?
Recovering from, BBC Children Need.
Good man.
Obviously, it was last Friday, so that was a big night for us. So I was in the office till 3 a.m., then had sort of 5 hours sleep, then drove to West Wales and partied until 3 a.m. the following morning.
Stamina.
And then it was Helen's birthday, so we had to stay up till 2 a.m. the following night. And then obviously treated her to a nice afternoon tea on the way back.
I have to say, I did wonder how that first sentence was going to end.
And then collapsed on Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah,
but that's
all right,
because I wasn't back in work till Wednesday.
Ah, good man. Next to him, righty boy.
Mate, how are you?
I don't know. It's all right, mate. I'm okay. What's been going on for you?
Well, I've not been a well boy the last week or so, as you well know. My mum will be sending you a note very soon.
Good.
To excuse me from that last week. We'll talk about cruising. I was cruising the Norfolk Broads this weekend.
We saw, with your grandma.
Yeah, it was her 86th birthday, and she's always wanted to cruise the Broads, which is weird for a lady who's lived in Norfolk for 86 years. She's never been on the Broads.
Really?
But I know, it's really weird, but yeah, we got a 9-seater boat out and just cruised for like 8 or 9 hours. It was absolutely amazing. Not good when you're ill, because I was more ill when I got back, and I wasn't at work on Monday either, as well as I wasn't on work on Friday, but I'm feeling better now.
Well, at least you could hang it over the edge of the boat, and nature would reabsorb it.
Yeah, I hang it over the boat, mate. It's like a freaking anchor.
Oh, right, okay. That's not what I was thinking, but okay. Join us in the studio. Patrice is here from Germany.
Yeah, I'm here.
He's come all the way from Germany to do a BTN show. We love having guests.
Two BTN shows.
Two BTN, yeah, we did Mac earlier on. Patrice is normally on the Mac show. When was the last time you were on Big Show, dude?
I don't know, a couple of months ago, I'm guessing.
Really?
Okay, yeah.
Cool. Good. And next to him, Muller.
Hello.
I wouldn't let him on the Mac show, so we had to let him out on the Big Show.
Yeah, don't trust me with you, do they?
No. And him and my daughter have been trying a competition in the curry house to see who could tell the shittest joke.
I won.
Yeah, Muller was way out there.
No. What was the joke?
No, don't.
What, the dentist one?
Okay, go on, do your dentist joke then, go on.
Oh, the dentist doing half price teeth cleaning because it's Black Friday.
That was one of the more passable ones, I have to say.
You really walk into that one, don't you?
Yeah, you do.
Come away, brooms.
Open wide. The Week in Tech, what's going on, what's been happening, all the big stuff. There's been quite a few stories going off. Snooper's Charter has really hit the street, I suppose, since the last time we did the Big Show, and quite a few other things. So who's got a story that they think is the pick of the week, the one that they want to share? Righty boy's in again. He's fast fingers righty. And he's in with NHS to use Google DeepMind AI app to help treat patients. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, I was kind of going through the kind of mundane kind of tech news, and this kind of caught my eye. And it seems that Google and the Royal Free London NHS Foundation have partnered up. They've been together for 5 years, and they're going to do another 5 years. And do you know about Google DeepMind, which is the AI thing, which is the thing that won the Go competition and all those sort of things?
Right.
And they're thinking that AI could improve the NHS. They've got a mobile app for most platforms called Streams. They've been working on it for the last year or so.
Right.
The AI is going to analyze blood results that come in from patients. And in this initial phase, they're going to work out if you've got acute kidney disease, which seems like quite a good idea. They're going to expand it for things like sepsis and organ failure, those sort of things in the future. But at the moment, the problem with the NHS is that they spend a lot of time like dropping between different systems, paper records, computer records, ancient computer records. They spend a lot of time. And I've obviously got elderly members of my family who the NHS is great, but it's not brilliant all of the time because they don't keep track all the time and they forget things, they lose things and all those sort of things. But DeepMind, I've been looking into it, is a very good AI, obviously, and its ability for adaptability is great. And they're looking that it could save time and save lives. But they've already, without any kind of implied consent, accessed the information of 1.6 million patients. interestingly. And they say that's necessary to evaluate treatment options for people. They say privacy will be protected, but this is Google.
But just not yet.
Yeah, exactly. Just tomorrow.
but DeepMind is Google. So what I was wondering from the assembled here today is, do you trust Google to save your life?
Nope. Not really.
Nope.
Probably not. Unanimous, chaps? Anyone dissent? No?
No.
Only if they own you afterwards.
I don't think it's Google. It's DeepMind, isn't it?
Yeah,
but not even with the AI that would, you know, that could detect things early and all those sort of things.
I think the AI, I mean, we know that AI, you know, really sort of starts to shine once you're dealing with big data. You know, the NHS and medical is definitely big data.
Well, this isn't, though, is it?
They're training it on quite small verticals, again, AI can be quite well trained for that. So I think, you know, I think it should do a decent job, and, you know, at least as good as a, you know, mid-level, you know, overworked NHS, you know, junior doctor and stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of missing things.
I can definitely tell you that right now, even today, a lot of software intelligence is at work in the hospital or in the doctor's office. I mean, every time you get something prescribed, any drug, there is an automatic check for interactions with whatever else you're taking. So that trend is going to continue, and you will have more AI, more intelligence, more machine learning in software.
We had Richard Arkness on last week to talk about supersonic flight, and this is the week we should have had him on, really, isn't it?
Yes.
The only qualified doctor that's known to BTS.
Well, you know that I work for a medical software company, so at least I have some qualifications.
You've got, probably not his qualifications. Mate, you've more than enough qualifications to give that comment. That's no problem at all.
Well, and I've played doctor. So.
You've played doctor.
You and Andrew played doctor.
That's also
all around the Caribbean.
But yes, I do agree with the others that I am nervous about it being Google having and maybe not, you know, properly containing or letting these, you know, all of our detailed medical get outside of this particular program.
Alistair, did you have something to say there? You looked a couple of times like you were going to jump in.
Yeah, well, this is the big issue with artificial intelligence in medicine, because AI's been around for ages. That's great promise, but it only works if you give it enough data. That's why everyone's talking about it now, is because now that we have big data, artificial intelligence has something to work with. It's very good at spotting patterns that humans can't see. Then the big problem is, there was raised at these conferences, looking at deep learning in medicine, is who's got the data and how can we make enough of it available at one time? What they have been relying upon recently is using university hospitals to provide that data. And it sounds to me as if the DeepMind group just got bored of waiting and just asked its, you know, its daddy to do what Google always does, which is just misuse the data, but with good intentions.
They've used people's records, but it doesn't say that they're identifiable records, does it?
No. Well, I mean, that's the one prerequisite is, you know, we don't identify anyone. Yeah. And then, of course, the question comes back and says, well, then what are we doing it for? We can't identify anyone. It's pretty useless information. Yep, there is seriously ill. Who is it? No idea. Yeah.
No, but I mean, I think that's valid. I mean, you're not even allowed to have identifiable medical information or use it in any shape or form.
Yeah, but you'd have a reference number or something because you'd have to be able to tie it back to.
No, they say they can't be identified, but we discussed exactly this thing 2 weeks ago on this program. These people saying, oh, yeah, people can't be identified. Yeah. And then... Kapow! Oh, we didn't know that. Everyone's names and addresses are there. Oops.
Yeah.
No. I don't. Hang on. Let's just be clear in my own mind, because I'm easily confused. I got the impression from when I read this story, thinking about it briefly just now, admittedly, but I got the idea of the fact that there's data gone out with an identification, so that there can be a report back to the NHS who can then act upon that identification. But the identification as in the personal information of the account holder or the information holder isn't made known to Google.
Yeah, well, that's what's been...
The article says personal and medical data was transferred to Google.
Yes, but it's got to be... they've got to know it's John Smith of 45 Acacia Avenue, not patient reference 265-6565, which is what I got the impression it is. Mm. But I could be wrong. I'm quite happy.
I'm just thinking I was looking through the link for the earlier program and the earlier story that they were linking through, and it looked like they were saying that there was, you know, more personally identifiable than just a reference number that cross-checked.
But I mean, for example, the age or the gender or something like that could also be considered personal information. You still can't identify anybody with it.
No.
So it is a question of what level.
I've got a question. What about Data Protection Act? Surely they can't release the data outside the EU without our permission.
No, it's that's what I'm saying. That's what I think about it. It can't be an identifiable individual, as in tying it to a name.
The data itself can't leave Europe.
It can leave a user as long as it's anonymized. Yeah.
If it isn't anonymized, then it can't even leave. I mean,
we can't leave the NHS if it's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
no.
That's
just a question. Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't. Whether it can't or not.
Well, it can. Well, it can if the patient, gives consent.
Yes. All right. Fair enough. Comments from the chat room. Deepan says, having seen some of the IT systems in the NHS and how out of date they are, I can't see this flying. Swamp Rat said he doesn't even use Google for search. Why are you watching this then? Put your tinfoil hat back on quickly. Deepan, I trust Google for handling spam email and nothing more. So you think. Yes.
So would you like to be diagnosed?
You may not trust them for anything more, but they're doing a lot more.
Sorry, Alice, you said, would you like to be diagnosed?
Yeah, by a company called DuckDuckGo.
Hey, you're a duck.
I think I'll go for Google.
I think it's hard. Because, I mean, people are turning to the internet, aren't they, for healthcare advice.
Definitely.
Quite regularly. But there was an interesting thing this week. I talked to my mum. Who'd been to see her doctor, and she saw a different doctor when she went in to see him last time, and she explained the same symptoms that she'd explained to the other doctor, and it was dead interesting. Just the two types of responses was the one doctor said, no, that's nothing to worry about, and that's it, and she doesn't like going to see that guy because he's very dismissive of her when she says, I've got this wrong with me. And the other doctor was that she saw afterwards, she mentioned it again. She said, I said this to this doctor, and he said, there's nothing wrong with you. And this other doctor said, okay, well, it's highly likely that that's not going to be anything, but let's keep an eye on it for the next month and come back in a month if you've still got the problem. And that's when I think that people turn to the internet for advice, is when a doctor just goes, no, there's nothing wrong with you. You're malinga, sod off. And actually, they are probably a malinga. They have got just a few aches and pains because they're old, because they're infirm, because they banged their leg and they forgot they banged their leg. They've got a blood blister come up on their leg. They think it's cancer, but they forgot that they stuck themselves with a set of secateurs at the weekend in the garden. and it's just... People just want an answer. They just want someone to go there. Well, let's keep an eye on it, even if there's no action takes place thereafter.
Exactly.
So is the answer then, if DeepMind tells you to get lost, you go and get a second opinion from Watson?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Watson would be clearly far more into investigating than DeepMind would be.
Mm. Well, they're running trials, aren't they, in Germany and in the States with IBM Watson.
Yep.
And
Watson's involved in medical research in the United States right now.
And why is it unpopular with the doctors, Alistair? Because it's accurate.
No, because they
haven't read up.
Oh, okay.
I think because they fear that they might get replaced, or that, I mean, yet another person or yet another system might come in and, I mean, take away their, I mean, powers or their decisions or whatever, or question what they're doing. I mean, for the most part, most doctors don't know what they're doing anyway, which isn't bad. I mean, that's just what medicine is, because we simply don't know enough yet to really be good at it.
That's concerning.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't really fault them. They are trying their best for the most part. I mean, they are usually the black sheep or amongst the doctors as well, but for the most part, they are trying their best.
There's a large part of healthcare is guessing.
Yeah,
looking
exactly.
at trends, working on intuition.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what I think this is.
Yeah, and that is the hard. That is the part that is hard to replicate in any kind of AI right now.
Yeah, but as Alistair said at the start, there, big data requires an awful lot of big data. And Bob Beach has made a comment here. It's not big data if you look at a single individual's results, but it's not. It's the trend. It's knowing how other people who are affected trend on their blood test results or urine test results, and then applying that to an individual's record.
And I can tell you why it is important that we get more IT or more systems like that in healthcare. I know that number because I recently researched it. In the US, every year, 250,000 people die because someone in the healthcare business made a mistake. A doctor misdiagnosed something, a pharmacist prescribed something or gave out something that he shouldn't have, things like that. And I mean, if we can even save 10% of that, it would be worth it.
Is the worrying thing about this story, do you think people would worry that it is Google?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, the word Google just doesn't, you know, the word Google, it helps you buy things online.
Yeah, well, because I have a kind of sanity filter. Before I come on a show every week, I run my stories by my wife, and she's a very clever young lady. And she said, oh, so what is it? So Google are going to get involved in the health service. And so if your blood results come back that you're ill from something, you're going to get funeral director adverts in your Google search. And she's a clever lady.
I don't know, it sounds really helpful.
She ought to write to Google with that suggestion, because she might actually get a few quid. She wants to patent that quickly.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if it was Watson that was being used for this this program, that fewer people would be uptight about it. I think it's really because
Watson's won on Jeopardy.
Yeah.
That's the only reason.
Well, Americans won on Jeopardy. Wow, must be smart enough to take care of my health needs.
Y'all.
It's like you've been here.
That's only in the deep south, however, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's not just because they think IBM, you know, wouldn't know what to do with the data or misuse the data if they did get it. Whereas, you know, people think Google, oh, they know how to use data probably too well.
It's a fair thing. It's a fair assumption. Yep. Yeah, good story, mate. Good story. It's going to rumble on for a while.
I think it will, definitely.
It bothers me that it's not being used in America first, but entirely on our data.
I understand your concern.
Yeah,
we are sort of like the world's petri dish right now.
Oh, see, Bratwinch has gone all political now, and I can't read that. I'm not having that. We're not doing politics. Not doing politics.
Turn it down.
Patrice, you put a story in. Facebook's reportedly building a censorship tool so it can re-enter China.
Yeah, according to The Verge, I have no idea whether that is true, but I mean, it's not something like something Facebook would do. Facebook is creating a tool that allows censors or governments to hide certain posts in certain areas. Not just for China, but also apparently for Turkey and Iran and so on. I'm not so sure. I mean, it has apparently caused some discussion, some controversy within Facebook, whether it's even ethical to do that or whether they should do it. I just wanted to, talk to you about it. What do you think? I mean, is it something Facebook simply has to do because it's a business and, I mean, they have to care about, I mean, getting access to a market that is, I mean, what is it, a third? No, at least a quarter or something of the population in the world. Or whether they should stay out of that game and say, okay, it's, I mean, everybody should be able to say whatever they want and post whatever they want, whether it's true or not.
Well, it's not going well for us in the West, is it? So
no.
Not really.
Most of social media now is just total bollocks 24 hours of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I mean, is that enough of a reason to say, okay, Facebook should have the power, or anybody should have the power to basically suppress certain posts?
Well, a lot of companies are doing anything they can to get into China, aren't they? Because I did a thing with the dean of our science faculty a couple of months back, and it was, we want to do a live broadcast from China, and we want to have interactions, and we want to take questions from the UK and from China. Mm-hmm. And it was all great, and I, as an example, I showed them one of the BTN shows I did on Google Hangouts.
Mm-hmm.
Which is great because it does the switching and all that sort of thing, and they were like, yeah, this is brilliant, you know, we haven't got to worry about, you know, someone moderating and all that sort of thing, it's all automatic. And he gets out of China, and I didn't think about it, and he went, there's no Google in China.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the fact, I think, you know, there's no Google in China. Is it Baidu that's the big search engine? Yep. In China. I think that Facebook would do anything to get in there. The same with Apple, we're always struggling to get into China as well. They'll kind of bend over backwards to get in there because the market is so huge.
Yeah.
The Batwing was in the chat room, was it a hot Dean?
Oh, God. Oh, God, please, no.
Well, you were the one that started with calling everything hot, mate. So.
No, that was you, mate.
Oh,
you
okay, that was me. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah, you started that.
I think...
don't bring that on me. It is. If you listen, hot boss, it was you.
I think with this story, they're right. There are the two parts that are... the two main discussion points are... Should companies do anything to get into China to get the market share and please the stock, the shareholders for increased growth? And then obviously there's the flip side of, yeah, once you have a tool, what's to stop this tool being used outside of China?
It's already in use. No, it's already in use. So they've already changed and amended posts in Pakistan, Russia and Turkey.
Yeah.
So this is old tech.
They're saying that that was, they've taken down posts and they've got a way of monitoring posts and taking them down, whereas this new tool is designed to actually block them ever appearing even once before they get takedowns.
Oh, right.
So okay. It's kind of that one of, you know, currently, yeah, if a country or a, you know, authority requests, they will take down a post so they can flag and remove posts just like they would for, you know, sex. Mm. And other objectionable content
City on Facebook of world.
The what, sorry?
The City of Scunthorpe. That was the famous one, wasn't it? For having a rude word in it.
Wasn't that one of the places that the Lord of the Rings went to?
Right.
No, the Lord of the Rings was actually written about 10 miles from me. It's all based around 10 miles from me.
Oh, well, yep. See, there you go.
Hall Green. Yeah. I took Patrice there.
Yeah, we...
Last time we were here.
During the bash, I think, or after the bash.
Yeah, after the bash had finished, we went to... I showed you where South Mill was.
For what it's worth, I think what Facebook is doing is in line with what they already do, which is produce the tools and let everyone get on with them. So rather than having a government interfering every 2 seconds saying, could you take this down? Could you remove that? They're actually saying, hey, here are the tools. Do it yourself.
Yep.
Which is fundamentally what social networking is all about, and Web 2 and all of that.
Yeah, but I mean, is that right? Is that ethical?
Well, it's easy if you have a business where you make it easy to be ethical.
Mm.
So I have been to China just the once, and it was in 1994. I remember it particularly for the number of Western companies they had allowed in versus the ones they hadn't allowed in. So they were saying, hey, let's go down to the Hard Rock Cafe in Beijing. And you're going, okay, why are we eating this kind of crappy burger? And it's because they were allowed in. But at the time, they didn't allow Disney in. There's nothing Disney could do to allow them to persuade the government to allow them into China. And then I think a few years later, it was in 98, they came out with a film, Mulan.
Oh, right.
And suddenly Disney were really popular in China and they were allowed in again. So that's quite nice when you could just make an animated film and be allowed in.
I never even thought... That's one of my favourite Disney movies. I like that movie. My daughter loves it.
But so if Facebook just made a nice film about a Chinese legend, great. But that's not what they do. They do social networking in chat.
Mm.
That's really blown the bubble now. I'm pretty good at spotting stuff like that, and that's totally gone past me. I feel dirty now.
Oh. Ooh.
I feel like tentacle porn.
Tentacles.
Oh, maybe. China could be into tentacle porn. That could get them in.
Why not?
Japanese, mate. They don't like
Japanese. Sure.
They don't like Japanese. Oh, no, it's Japanese. Yeah, of course. Yeah. They're not good mates. No. Yeah, my mistake. I think there is an ethical argument, as Alistair says, but really semantically, if Facebook want to do it just to get acceptance, then
then it's just their thing.
Just 1.3 billion.
There's nothing
customers.
To stop them from doing
as a,
this.
As a company, they have every right to do that.
Yeah. They're not killing anyone. They're not taking away anyone's human rights, other than shaping the news that they see. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we see that post.
Or what?
Or we'll see the Chinese post. If we could read them, that is. But
no, they don't get posted at all, I think. That's what Alistair was saying. It's proactive.
But if they opened up the market to Facebook and they posted, would we see the post? Would they come out rather than just stay in?
I guess
so. So you're saying if you followed someone in China and they put the post up that was disallowed in China, would the post come to you but not to anyone in China?
Yeah.
My guess is no. Wouldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, my guess is that it stops it posting.
It never makes it.
What happens with Weibo and those things? Are they already censored in this way?
Oh, they're terribly censored, aren't they?
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, what's the big deal then? It's just...
They call it the great firewall of China, don't they? They are very... very diplomatic is not the word, but in what they let in and what they let out. So...
I think Batwinch has been drinking because she said, if you and Lucy and Isengard, does that make Muller and Patrice hobbits?
I don't know. Well, she's blaming Mr. Batwinch.
I thought Isengard was...
She on the mead there.
Was I think Norse mythology.
I'm almost he's drinking.
No, you said you lived in Lord of the Rings country.
Yeah, which is Isengard's Norse mythology, not Lord of the Rings.
No, Isengard exists in Middle-earth.
I thought that's where the Jotunheim thing is.
No, that's where the wizard lives.
Oh, right, okay. I thought Isengard was Norse mythology.
No, it actually exists.
Isengard's where the bear lives, the bear man.
Oh, right, okay. My apologies, Batwinch. I'm not good on Norse mythology or my Lord of the Rings, clearly.
But we live in the Hobbit area, Hobbiton.
As far as I'm concerned, North is Swaffham.
Anyway, don't be going to the Badlands of Ipswich ever.
Slow you down, boys.
My mates have never come back from there.
Slow you down.
My ex, who currently lives in China, his wife is Chinese, on Facebook, he must have a back door.
It's
not. Oh, it's Asgard as well, is North from Solid. So I wasn't far off, Isengard. I don't know, all right.
Yeah,
you could get those two mixed up. Asgard. That's okay.
Did you say Asgard? You need one of those in tentacle porn.
aren't those aliens from...
Now, isn't it?
All right, here we go. And Asgard...
Aren't Asgard the aliens from Stargate?
Oh, God, do not these things.
There's the show title right there.
Yeah, you got it.
Do not question my geekdom. I wouldn't dream of it, darling. next story. Alistair, have you got a story for us?
Yeah, it was the one I just put in there. It's not really the major story of the week or even particularly technical, but...
It's all right.
If you lived in the southeast of England, the Design Museum has finally reopened. It used to be down by London Bridge. Now it's in Kensington. So I went there this morning to have a visit.
Oh,
the
right.
free Ooh. Exhibition. Oh, cool. So I'm so tight I didn't want to pay for the others. Is just a collection of various design things. And, of course, there's an awful lot of tech kit in there of various types.
That's
and I enjoy these things because... You know, you reach a certain age and it becomes, did I have one of those? Or how many of those did I have?
Yeah. You know,
I had that Palm Pilot and four others. And which version of the Walkman did I have?
Still gone.
And, well, there you go. And it was just really nice to see stuff that I have had. Or I knew people, you know, oh, I had one of those Technics turntables in the 70s.
Oh, good times.
It's almost like you could play a bingo with it, you know, a list of all the things you had and tick them off as you go through the exhibition. It's great fun. I enjoyed it very much. And, of course, it's free.
Yeah.
Well, I have seven of the first item. I have seven different coloured iMacs.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. So when Steve Jobs said buy one of each colour, you actually took him at his word?
No. It's the wonder of being an IT technician from the late 90s to the kind of... early 2000s and or the noughties, whatever. It were decommissioned, so I've got every color.
You've got the full spangles.
Yeah, all spangles. I've even got Emacs.
Oh wow. Yeah, they were good Emacs.
Weren't they in Star Wars?
No, those were the Ewoks.
In 5 years, your best bloody joke that was.
I've got a Bondi blue one in the office that Arthur gave me from the London Mac User Group, and I've never fired it up yet, but I cherish it. I'm chuffed as well, Astrid, to see British Road Signs in there because they are an iconic design. That is so cool. A lot of people have dismissed that and go, well, it's just a road sign, but I'm sorry, the font is a classic.
Yeah, they've also got a whole bench of different uses for, you know, kind of cheap processors and, you know what I mean? It was just, you know, I remember the old design museum and it was all bloody stools and uncomfortable armchairs, whereas this has obviously gone up a gear and they've put a lot of technical stuff in, which is good.
Dan Set record player.
Oh, I had one of them.
Yeah, there's one there.
They got underground stuff as well, didn't they?
Oh, Christ, original Xbox controller. I've just thrown out the original Xbox. We threw it in the bin.
Well, I think they'd be in the bin. It's on the wall now at the Design Museum.
No, I'm sorry.
Ewan, take it out of the bin. Send it to me.
No. A Phono Super SK5 record player.
Molten, but not that one.
That's really cool. Really, really cool.
Beautiful stuff.
There is.
Yeah, it's a great building stuff. Too. It's good to visit.
I'll definitely go down there. That'd be awesome. What was on the subject of design? We poo-pooed a little bit. We tried really hard to be positive last week on the Mac show about Apple and stuff like that. And then they released a £300 design book, which made us kind of a bit cynical. But hot off the press, Patrice actually saw it yesterday, didn't you, or the day before?
The day before, yeah. I saw it. I saw it in the Regent Street store.
And you said it's really. It looks like it's worth the money.
I'm not a book guy, so I can't tell you whether it's worth £250, but. But it is a really, really, really well-made book, and it's huge. I mean, it is thick. It has a lot of pictures in it, and it's simply, I mean, it will take over your coffee table.
You were describing with your hands the size of it, and it looked like it was close to like a half meter.
Yeah. Oh, roundabout, yeah.
Oh, and you were describing it as about that in depth, sort of 4 inches.
I would say, something like like more like
3 inches in depth.
Three inches.
It comes in two sizes, doesn't it?
Yes, there's a smaller one for
I think a smaller version.
What is it? 195, 199 pounds, something like that.
199 and 250. But I've got to say, because I poo-pooed it and I was kind of like, oh, I'm never going to buy that.
Mm-hmm.
But once you described the size of it to me and the quality of it, there was a bit of me was like, oh, I could buy that.
Yeah.
No,
it's really good.
No, just go to the Apple store and use it like a lending library. Just go in there and flick through and just annoy them.
Yeah.
I've bought 300 quid book once.
And?
You bought a book once?
And it's on me. It's up there. It's the biggest book you've ever seen. You'll see it.
Yeah, get it down. Get it down. Let's see it.
Wait there.
Yeah, let's see your big book.
It's a Ladybird book, isn't it?
Book. Janet and John, book 3. You can't hear me say that, so I've kind of wasted that, really.
We enjoyed it.
We'll talk over while I... Right, Jesus, right, don't dismantle the place. Oh, shit!
Oh,
shit!
Yeah, that definitely...
Oh, shit, what did you break, right?
He's been attacked by tentacles.
My C-3PO fell off the wall, that's all.
Have you bust it?
This is the book in here, look. It's a book.
Okay. That is huge.
That's a box. It's a book. But you didn't break your C-3PO, did you?
That's
the top of my cardboard
desk,
though. This is cardboard desk, aye? The other week.
Look at it.
It's that little Nemo book, isn't it?
If you're listening on audio, what the hell are you doing? This is awesome. Get the video. It's a Michael Jackson book.
Yeah.
Oh, good God. That's...
Wow.
And you spent 300 quid on a Michael Jackson book.
Oh, look at this.
But that is, I mean, that is huge.
That is the biggest book you've ever seen in your entire life.
Yeah.
Has it got any pages?
It even comes with a white glove so you can read it.
Okay. Were you a bit of a Jackson fan before all the paedophilia stuff came out?
Oi, oi, oi. I will have none of that.
Oh, okay.
Where's your other hand? It's on your crotch, isn't it?
Right. So, you know, the £300 books, they're worth the money.
Okay, so actually, the way that Patrice described it, that's about the size of it.
Yeah.
Of the Apple book, so
maybe a
little
bit smaller, maybe.
It's huge. Oh,
not that
it's big. A touch smaller, but there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I was debating as well because I talked to Patrice in the car, and I was saying about, have you seen my prototype Mac SE? And he didn't know I had a prototype Mac at sea.
Oh, that's lovely.
That's actually really cool, Ewan.
Yeah, it's up here. It's one of five.
Is that the one with no serial number on it?
Yeah, that's right. It's the one with no serial number. I've got the original bag that it came over in, and it was down at Stockley Park. But it's one of the first five original iMac prototypes, Mac SE prototypes that were sent to
UK. Oh, lovely.
So,
yeah, they're still looking for the software for it.
And I'm still looking for version 3.3. So, yeah, System 3.3. If anyone can give me System 3.3, that's what it was originally shipped with. I want that on it. I've got System 7, thanks to one of the listeners who sent me in a pile of System 7 discs. But I want it to run 3, because that's what it came with. 3.3. Appeal. Jeffrey, put that in the Mac Observer, mate, and ask for all of the readers of the Mac Observer if anyone's got a copy of System 3.3.
I will totally do that.
Yes, mate, and I will let them have a look at a picture of my Mac SE, or I will let them come fondle it if they are in the UK.
Or did it just get hot in here?
You can fondle my Mac SE.
8-inch disc.
No, it's actually got a floppy 144. So.
Is it punched cards?
Nope.
Yeah. Ticker tape.
I've got the other thing I've got is I've got the original copy of HyperCard in the cellophane.
Have you?
In the cellophane.
My copy of HyperCard is not wrapped anymore, but it's still in the box.
Yeah, no, mine's in cellophane. So
mine's not wrapped anymore because when I got it, I got it when you actually, people were still using HyperCard.
Yeah.
I have a box, I have an AppleScript box somewhere too. Back when you had to buy it as opposed to just get it with the operating system.
Wow.
Ah, good times.
Your cat needs feeding, dude, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
I don't know what's up vocal. With Nightshade today. Almost any day anymore.
He's happy, you're home.
She's totally into this talking thing all the time now.
Yeah, Harry does that a lot, my cat. Good story, mate. I need to pay a visit to that because that looks like a load of fun. I want to go there to that. Looks really good. Oh, shut up, you two. Behave. You'll go in the corridor in a minute. I'll split you up. Who's got a story? Who's next?
I've got one if you want.
Go on then.
Digital Amoeba's beat me.
Oh, Alan's beating you. I'm finding it really hard to call you Alan tonight, Alan. Do apologise, mate. I just want to keep saying Digital Amoeba for Christ knows what reason.
So, I wanted to start out possibly predictably and then throw a curveball twist at the end.
Oh, he's got an Apple product. Go on. No, steady on.
The story is, obviously, as we all know, Windows Phone has not particularly set the consumer smartphone market alive.
Bit of a shame, but yes.
Mm-hmm. However, obviously, Microsoft has been very clear that it is very committed to Windows 10 Mobile, partly because it's just part of Windows 10, like the Xbox SKU, like the HoloLens SKU, etc., etc. They're just different branches. And partly because it said that actually ARM chipsets could be the future, because obviously ARM chipsets are getting more and more powerful, but are still managing to be very very power efficient, whereas Intel obviously around Easter gave up on mobile chipset design. The bits that get really interesting here is apparently, so Windows 10 mobile architecture is already running on 64-bit prototype hardware,
mm-hmm.
Running on up to 6 gig of RAM on these prototype chips. And we were already told that Windows 10 Mobile, because it shares the core with Windows 10, can support up to 64 core processors, in theory. So there's a lot of headroom on that side of things, and an extra piece has been falling possibly into place in the Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 processor. There was rumors about it having virtualization virtualization hardware capabilities in it, and there's been a lot of increasing rumors that Microsoft and Qualcomm have been working together to get x86, i.e. normal PC applications and stuff, being able to run on ARM chips. Now that all plays into sort of Microsoft's further future play, which is all about a mobile computing device. Lose the name phone, just think mobile computing device, and a device that, you know, probably is in your pocket, is portable, you know, can be used on its own, but then transforms or plugs into docking stations, etc., with Continuum to become your one and only computing device.
You've got to say that improving your position in the phone market, you would have said that removing the word phone was not the best idea for doing that.
No.
Sidestepping. Really they want to be in, you know, the next mobile computing thing, not head to head with smartphone, which, you know, to be honest, how many of us, how much phone usage do we get out of our smartphones these days?
Very little.
You know, the phone is the legacy part of that, isn't it?
It's just another app.
Yeah.
I send phone and text an awful lot off my phone, so listen to podcasts.
But are you really texting, or are you using something like Slack? WhatsApp, whatever.
I'm using text. I'm a Luddite.
Okay. You're old school, yeah.
I can't be doing with WhatsApp and that kind of shit. It's just...
Well,
I use Twitter, I use Facebook. I don't use Facebook, I use Twitter, and I use Slack, and then it's just texts.
I probably haven't texted in a couple of years.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
well, if you're saying that iMessage is not a text,
iMessage is not... I'm excluding iMessage, so iMessage is not a text.
Oh, well, I texted the plasterer the other week because he's not on an iPhone, so got no choice. I got a green message, not a blue message.
Yes, Dad.
Yeah.
To be fair, I text a fair bit, but I don't use it. I don't use my phone for phone calls unless I really, really have to.
Yeah, I mean, I send a lot of messages via the text application of iMessage, but I send it thinking it's a text, and I don't really give a stuff whether it comes out as a text or not text, so
No, I just assume it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's my messaging app.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, my story was generally just that, you know, it's just getting people thinking about the sort of next jump of our portable computing power, you know, whether or not it's still called a smartphone. Obviously, these smartphones or mobile computing are getting powerful enough that they can be your one, you know, they can potentially be your one device.
Playing devil's advocate, though, a little bit, Alan, is it, I mean... I've got to the stage with Microsoft where I do feel that they've walked away from the phone as it currently stands. And they're off down another path when they haven't invested in the phone and tried to make it work as a mobile platform. So why are they going to invest in something that's not called a phone and as a mobile platform and make it work? But then I also come back to Satya Nadella's kind of inauguration speech where he said that we are focused on the Internet of Things. And the Internet of Things doesn't run off a desktop. It runs off a mobile computing platform. Mm-hmm. So they have to invest in this. They have to get it right. But I think just coming out with a small tablet and not calling it a phone because that's kind of quirky, radical chaps, just doesn't seem to be the right move.
And all of that doesn't really matter if they can't really attract developers. And that's right now, especially on the phone side, their biggest issue.
Call it a communicator.
The Nokia communicator, I remember that.
Oh, I
that worked really well for Netscape, didn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they're still going, aren't they, technically?
Yeah. But even at the last event that Microsoft did, the stuff they were doing with the augmented reality and the scanning stuff in for Windows 10 for 3D Paint, it wasn't a Lumia phone they used. It was an HP phone. It was basically just crying out to everyone, we're not making Windows phones anymore, which makes the old friend Jufro Jim cry.
Yeah, no, they did a real good job with the 1020, and then after that it was kind of like, yeah, okay, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Done now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at the NPU website link that you gave, and I'm looking at the picture. How fake is that picture?
Yeah, extremely
is it
fake.
Very, very fake, or is it just completely imaginary?
I think it's called an artist concept.
That's artist impression render.
Yeah, I like artist rendition.
Things they've heard from sources, or just what they're dreaming up at the moment. But
I thought it looked nice.
Obviously, there's a lot of things that saying that, you know, if they're not going to come out with a Surface phone, which has been the sort of, you know, hope that imminently, the hope of Windows Phone enthusiasts, that there would be a, you know, Surface phone to give us new first-party Microsoft hardware. But I think that all the rumors are talking about there is going to be a Surface mobile device, which will be able to make phone calls and send texts and run Windows 10 mobile, which is a full mobile and phone OS. But it's got to do more. I mean, interestingly, I can see it potentially having some sort of, you know, some sort of hardware keyboard involved.
Well, the hardware keyboard that's there's only got 13 characters on it, I think, about. It's not a proper keyboard by any stretch. The artist is pretty crap, actually, in this, this impression.
So, I mean, you know, the interesting one is, every other Surface device has had to have a twist or something that it's doing new to justify it being released as a Surface device.
Yeah.
So the downside of this is, I think they are still, you know, they've got working prototypes, but they are planning to actually refine before they release.
That's good.
So, late next year instead of Easter is probably where we're looking, which brings me on to my twist.
We're twisting. Tell us your twist, Al.
So, I've escaped the contract rat race, but I'm interested in what people's views are on, quite happy if it's an A-grade second-hand, but what sort of Android device should I consider for around the 100 quid mark as my to beat a Lumia 930 with Windows 10 mobile that I've currently got?
OnePlus 1 or OnePlus 2.
I think how much is that going to rush him?
About the Wily Fox.
The OnePlus 2 will probably rush him if he's in the second hand market around 120, because the OnePlus 3T is out now, so that's the third generation. That's my idea. one of the best ones. They've knocked the money off the Pixel, $100 a Pixel this week for Black Friday with Google. And I've seen the Pixel, and that is a really nice phone. It's a really nice phone. Android does look really good.
But that's well pricey.
It's still well pricey. And this is my first year. I'm never upgrading. Since I got the watch, my phone stays in my pocket. My watch is my interface into my phone, and I am up for an upgrade, and I'm not going to take it. I'm going to go SIM free and pay £10 a month for 4 or 5 gig of data. We've reached peak smartphone now. You know, it does all the things. It does my Instagram, it does my Facebook, does my emails, does everything. I don't think I need to launch into another £50 a month contract or buy another 600 quid phone to do that. I'm happy to hold on until the next good thing comes along. And talking to Jim at lunchtimes when we're having a beer, he's obviously disappointed with Windows Phone, and he staunchly would not move to Apple, and he's looking at Android, and I've put him in the OnePlus phones, and he's actually quite impressed with them because they are premium phones with all of the features but without the price tag.
Deepan in the chat room says Microsoft made the mistake of focusing on cheap consumer phones after the 1020, and I think they launched a Surface device more like an HP Elite X3, which is actually branded a PC tablet, not a phone.
I've got a brand of phones, and they're on Prime on Amazon. Wily Fox.
Yeah, you recommended this the other week, didn't you?
Yeah, there's one for $69.99, then there's one for $99, and then the new one's coming out soon, $163.
Cool. Wily Fox.
Yeah. Wiley Fox. Yeah. Pretty good phones. Got a good rip.
Cool.
I mean, I'd love one that had QI wireless charging in, because I've got loads of QI wireless chargers around the house.
The new one does, but it's a bit over your budget. It's £183.
Yeah, it's still cheap.
Just say it's over his budget.
And it's new.
And it's not out yet. I think it might be launched this week, actually.
Batwench has just keeled over at the shop that Alan has asked a question about another phone.
Apologise to her. Yeah, as I say, it's still, you know, that's one of the reasons I'm looking around the £100 mark is that it's got to prove itself. And I know I am asking a bit for something that's going to also be even comparable to the 930's camera.
I just assumed you were tight. Sorry, mate.
Well, Wiley Fox are British, so buy British.
Oh, well done. There we go. Thank you, Donald Trump.
Talking from experience, my dad just got the fourth generation Moto G, which I think is around the £100, £120 mark. I'll tell you what, for a 4.5-inch phone, that's actually a really good device. And you can get those on contract for something like ridiculous, like 14 quid a month.
Cool. I've been SIM free since 2000, and I've never bought a contract phone since that point. So, and I've saved myself.
I don't really want to go back into the contract world because.
Yeah, but you save yourself an absolute fortune on purchase, and you've got the buying power then.
Yeah,
and you're not on the treadmill of when you can upgrade. You can choose when fits with the when fits with the gadget lust comes along, or totally. The new phones come out.
Totally. Jeffrey, you're the last one, I think, to do a story, aren't you?
No, it's me as well.
I am last.
Sorry, mate.
Alright, so here's my story. And in the chat room now. So the deal is there is a group of researchers in Israel that figured out how to use headphones connected to your smartphone without a microphone to act as a microphone for eavesdropping and spying. And the audio quality they can get just from using, you know, this, your earbud, as a microphone is pretty impressive. Like they're getting intelligible conversations from like 20 feet away. So
with it shoved in your ear.
This is nothing.
Yeah, well, this is shoved in your ear. And so I'm looking at this on one hand, I'm like, okay, well, I have in a pinch used earbuds without a microphone on them as a microphone, and the audio quality wasn't good, but I was able to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that respect, it's not new that this is something that people can do, but doing it in such a way where it's being used as an eavesdropping and spying tool without your knowledge, that's the new part. And so I'm finding this whole thing very interesting, but also I'm wondering, at what point are we going to be too paranoid about the possibility of someone using any electronic component as an eavesdropping tool on us?
I mean,
the likelihood of someone using my earbuds as an eavesdropping tool on me, I'm assuming, is pretty slim. Based on all the shows I'm on, it's not like I have that much that's worth listening to, right? No.
At what point do we have enough tools to that, I mean, people can use to eavesdrop on us?
Yeah, I mean, if someone was really clever and wanted to hack in to my network, there's microphones connected up, multiple microphones connected to my computer. I have a webcam with a microphone built into it that's on my network all the time. And there are probably other things that could pick up my audio and video that I'm not even thinking about right now.
Yeah, it is. Well, that bone conduction gear, that wouldn't do it, because basically a microphone and an earphone, they're the same. They're just smaller. Yeah. That's why there's nothing new in this. But use bone conduction then, because that's not the same, is it?
Well,
I don't know if bone induction.
The issue there is more. I mean, if you can go, do it from a distance, then it's probably more about that you. I mean, use it. You basically use the electrical field generated by the headphones to.
Yes, that's exactly right.
To access it over distance.
Well, they could use a parabolic microphone anyway. So
yeah.
So, I'm sorry, there's just loads of ways to do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's gobs of ways to do this.
Stand in the same room.
Oh, yeah.
Same room.
Put a glass against the wall next door.
Team Canyon string.
Yep. Yes, it is kind of creepy to think that someone else's phone could be hacked, and just because they're somewhere near me, someone else could be eavesdropping on my conversations.
But
realistically... Unless you're in, like really serious politics or espionage, what's the likelihood someone's actually going to take that or go to the effort to do this?
True.
Maybe it's built into the Chinese version of Facebook.
Yes,
probably.
Oh, that totally makes sense. It's all clear now.
Actually, I did see a story. Shazam is always on on your MacBook. Always on, even when you turn it off.
Oh, right.
That's a bit frightening. So Shazam is always listening to you.
Well, it can't be off if you switch the app off.
No, you check a story. Apparently it's always on. When you turn the app off, it still listens. It just doesn't record it. So it's listening to you.
Buddy.
Naughty.
I'm going to check my phone right now and see what it says about Shazam.
Well, Swamp Rat, no doubt, has run away from the chat room screaming with his tin hat on.
Yeah, sorry about that.
But Jeffrey's not got his tin hat at the moment, so.
No, I'm okay without my tin hat. Besides that, the one that I had Alexa order for me, it hasn't shown up yet.
Ooh, was it a Black Friday deal?
You know, I'm afraid to ask Alexa if there are any deals right now, because I'm afraid that she'll... Oh, Jesus.
She's always listening, mate.
We got 48 Andrex toilet rolls last week, came on the thing, because someone had said, is there any toilet rolls? And then said yes when she asked if we wanted to order them.
Oh, no. Alexa, stop.
Just stop.
She was about stop. To rattle just off like five different stop. Ads for me.
Turn your speakers on, Jeffrey, and let's see how much we can order before you can get them turned down again.
I am not pulling these headphones out of my ears. Alexa, no way.
Alexa, have you got tentacle porn?
You know, I bet she would come back with something for me if I asked her.
Alexa,
that is not good. I bought two Alexas today on Ewan's recommendation.
Oh, they're awesome. They are awesome, mate. You won't regret it. They're beautiful.
They're nice and cheap today as well.
My mom and dad, actually... Andy in the Slack room said, "Oh, I'm worried about whether I should buy it or not, whether it's any good or not. I know you've all raved about it, but my parents came down to see us on Sunday, and we sat them down in front of. Will you stop it? Just leave her alone, Muller.
What?
Stop trying to get tentacle porn out of Alexa. All right, sit down." They said, "So what does it do?" And I just got okay, play some music, order some stuff. You know, asked some questions, some generalist stuff, and they were gobsmacked by it. And that's to the point they said, "Oh, could we have one of these for Christmas? Could that be our present for Christmas?" Said, "Yeah, sure, I'll get you one." So, and they're 81 and 85, so it's, you know, that they see some value in it. They've got a gramophone record, and they couldn't believe that I could just say play some Ella Fitzgerald, and they'd get it rather than having to get out a disc and put it on a turntable and clean the needle and.
But I had a genuine reason to buy one, which I bought the speaker version for 119, and for $39.99 I bought the dot for my nan. So I've got a spare Bluetooth speaker around, but my nan's registered blind.
Perfect.
And that sort of thing, you know. She's played with her iPads and all that. She played with Siri now and then. We did try and get to use a 4S for a little while because she could talk to Siri. It didn't really work, but the Alexa's so good that she could just ask the time, the weather, and all those sort of things because you can't see a screen. And I thought, for £40, that's a perfect Christmas present.
It is. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
The grown-up geek in the chat room says, "Can we please use Just Jeff as the moniker as normal because my Echo is having a breakdown behind me?"
Yeah, I'm assuming that we helped you order a lot of tentacle porn.
Yeah.
And you're welcome.
Alexa, please report back.
Alexa, I'd like to order some toilet roll.
And butt plug.
Oh, you've done it on yours.
Yes. No, she hasn't. No, she hasn't.
He shot himself in
his
butt.
Oh, crap, I need to open the phone. Hang on. That can't be right. That's not right.
Still listening.
That's not right. Alexa, cancel. I'm sorry, mate.
Alexa,
I didn't.
Double the order.
No. Bastards.
Ewan, why do you let these people into your place all the time? I just don't get that.
I think he's asking himself the same question right now.
Alexa, can I...
No, stop, shut it. Just shut it.
Can't you tell...
I have it all.
Can't you tell her to stop listening for like an hour?
Oh, bollocks.
Pull the plug out of the wall.
The sound's turned down so you can't hear it.
Oh, right. Anyway, just talk amongst yourselves for a minute while I try and cancel 48 toilet rolls.
I said it was full of shit.
Muller, what's your story, for Christ's sake?
Okay, I posted it already in the room.
NSPCC warning over Tinder-like app for teenagers.
Yeah. I'm a bit puzzled by this story. I mean, yes, kids shouldn't really have access to these kind of apps. But what are the parents doing? I was actually wondered if Righty or would come in with this story. Not many other reason, Righty. I just think it's, you know, you've got children and that. But what are parents doing to take some responsibility with this? Well, where we sort of, people are sort of saying, it's just down to the company to check the ages. Well, checking your blooming kid's phone and stopping them from downloading it?
Said the person with no kids.
Well, yeah, but...
But go ahead, Righty. Hang on, answer.
Okay.
Okay, so my daughter is 13 years old and she has a smartphone, she has an iPhone, it's her second iPhone, but she didn't get it, out the door. Here's an iPhone, there you go. It was 6 months in the house using it. Responsibly and making sure that she did all the right thing, went to the right places and all that. We were monitoring what she did. We then gave her an email address that she then knew for 6 months, and we monitored that, and she was fine with that. And then we let her on a couple of social networks with her friends, made sure they were private, and all those sort of things. At every single point said to her that the internet is a dangerous place. You do not want to deal with people. The problem is that people just hand their kids technology, which is the gateway to the world, and say, have away with it. And that is the thing. Technology is not a right. It really isn't a right at all. It's a responsibility that parents have to have. And if you give your kid a black mirror into the world, and which can be the dark world as well, then you should suffer the consequences if you don't deal with it properly.
Hang on, I say.
But this, they're talking about here, about adding legislation to the Digital Economy Bill. But I think it could easily be done by maybe phone companies having a child sensor. Not a child sensor, but an app where you just set it.
So if your hands aren't big enough, so you don't get to make a call.
There's that as well. But where you can actually set it to say, this is a child's phone, so it limits what you can do. Without obviously intervention from someone.
Well, you can do that on your iPhone. Say this is family and this is child.
Yeah, I mean, and on the App Store, I mean, as far as I know, at least you can prevent children from downloading apps. But once it's downloaded, I don't think there's any limitation.
Yeah, I think it's hard. I mean, Ellis has got his phone. It's set up using an email that I have the password to, Ellis doesn't. So I see all of his emails, I see all of the stuff that he gets up to on Facebook, etc., etc. And he's kind of like, oh, I need my privacy. I'm like, you can have your privacy when you get to 18, sunshine. Then it's all yours.
There you go. Like. You and I totally back you on this.
But
yeah, me too.
The other week it came back and it said, oh, confirm your account for some social media account, Hot or something like that. And or HTO, and I was just, well, Ellis, right, so you signed up for a social media account. Yes, I did. Right, you don't do that without my permission, mate. That's not happening. So we'll cancel it. And we've cancelled it. And he keeps coming in. He says, can I sign up for this social media account? Can I sign up for this account? And no. And the reason it is because his peer group are like, oh, I'm on so-and-so, so you need to sign up on that, otherwise you can't talk to me. And that's all it comes from. And if Ellis can perfectly happily sign up to his own social media accounts quite happily, he can confirm them because his phone has got access to his own email. That's fair enough. And he could delete email without me seeing it. He just doesn't. But I've got the password and I've got the control over his email account, whereas he hasn't. So that's when it all falls apart for him. He could send himself an own password reset, I suppose, or something like that, but then I'd get the second identification on my phone.
What he could always create his own email address and you wouldn't notice it, so there are limits.
Yeah, I would know it on his phone because I periodically open his phone without him knowing. So.
Yeah. You do that as a parent, don't you? Because it is that same kind of thing you wouldn't let him go out there. Go out on their own at a certain age and all those sort of things, you know, and going on to the internet is like going out.
I don't mind. I mean, Ellis goes out in the summer. You know, he'll get up in the morning, he'll play on his Xbox or his PlayStation, and then he'll say, I'm going out with my mates up to the park. And he says, okay, that's fine. And he'll pull a backpack on with a drink in it and a sandwich and get on his bike, and him and his mates will cycle off. He's 13 years old. He goes up to the local park. They play and sit in the grass and talk and do things that are normal. I find out a few weeks later that he's cycled like 8 miles to somewhere. And cycle back, and okay, did you have a good time, mate? That's it, you know, because I did that when I was his age. At 13, I cycled to Sutton Park, I cycled all round all day, and then I cycled home with Philip Gould and his mates and his brother. I don't think the world's any more dangerous in that sense. The traffic's harder, yeah, definitely, but I don't think there's any more wackos out there trying to steal my son, so.
No, I think the world's more dangerous online than it is outside the door, actually.
Yeah.
I don't think it is there either.
You sure?
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, there's... I think people are braver behind social media, but it doesn't make them any more likely to act it out. I think they're bigger pussies inside than they ever were, perhaps, in the past.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
So that's, you know, anyone who says doesn't do. Yeah, someone says, oh, I got a death threat over Twitter. Anyone that threatens to kill you isn't going to do it.
No, that's fair enough.
I could disagree with that, but that's...
Yeah, but you were in the middle of Broad Street. They were pissed up and had a knife. It's a bit different.
There's other stories.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I've always said to Ellis, that, you know, the person that you want to be scared of the most when you walk into a pub isn't the gobby bloke by the bar. It's the bloke who's staring into his pipe and hasn't looked at anyone in the eye for the last 10 minutes.
But it's not threat. It's not those kind of threats we're talking about. It's more of the paedophile type who are using it to groom children on this dating app. I mean, why do kids need a dating app anyway? I mean, this company should be having a real look at
itself. Well, we can't talk to each other anymore because they're all on their phones.
Well, yeah, but why do they need a dating app? That's what it basically is. It's a dating app.
Yeah, no. God, we sound like a bunch of old men.
Yeah.
You notice how quiet Patrice has been, because he doesn't want to sound like an old man.
Yeah, plus, I mean, I don't have any kids.
It's because Patrice is smarter than us.
No, and I don't have any kids, so I can't really tell anything.
It's the hardest thing in the whole world. Easily the hardest thing in the whole world.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather keep a dog than raise a child, in terms of effort. No, I really would.
He did it twice.
And once they hit 13, oh, Jesus Christ. Just say okay, Dad, to anything that I say. Anything. I'll take it. Doesn't matter what it is. Just say okay, Dad, when I first ask you. Yeah?
Mate, you're lucky. You've got a 13-year-old boy. You've got a 13-year-old girl.
Oh, wait till she's 15, mate.
Shut up.
You're the Antichrist. At the moment, she just hates you mildly, but she'll have a doll with effigies and pins and all sorts of stuff stuck in it. Bowen says, you have realised you, and that's because you are a bunch of old men.
Thanks, mate. It's not true.
Nope.
It's not true. Why not?
Oh, well, my daughter never had that stage.
You lucky bastard.
Yeah, you bastard.
24 now. She's been brilliant non-stop.
Really? Well done, mate.
Yeah, I'm not an old man.
I blame the parents for that.
I've been around with Ewan too long.
Blaming the parents, we've had some reviews. Thank you to those people who do bother to write in and give us some reviews. It makes all the difference to us, no matter what you say. And I will read all of them out, I promise. Gloss Matt, you bastard. We'll get to yours in a minute. First one, we got Retro UK, 5 stars. Thanks very much. Fun, interesting podcast with a great panel. Although I'm a Brit, I usually listen to US podcasts, but this one has become the exception. They cover most of the subjects I'm interested in, and the panel all have their own unique qualities.
I don't know what qualities.
Is that passive aggressive?
Some of them are unique. Yeah, that's true.
Oh, yeah.
You know there's going to be a but, don't you? But yeah. The host...
Ah.
He can be a self-righteous sod at times.
Yes.
Yep.
Even when he's clearly wrong. Well, I've got to take it seriously because I'm never wrong. What the hell are you talking about? I've thought back over recent weeks to when I was wrong, and I couldn't think of a single moment when I was wrong.
Yeah, you're an old man. You simply can't remember it.
Oh, okay. Well.
genius.
Isengard?
No, I think you'll find I said isn't that. I didn't say it. And he always talks down to the other panelists when he goes off on one. Do I? I talk down to Patrice because he's sat on a stool that's lower than me, but that's... Shut up, Muller. It's quite annoying, to be honest.
No. It's entertaining.
Chill out, man. Mate, you won't find anyone who's more chilled than me. Promise you. Yeah.
Especially when he's had 14 kisses.
What I can't get over is he's given us a perfect score, so he must like me being like that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, why give us a perfect score?
Yeah.
There you go.
See, I'm right. I'm right again. Then there's Gloss Matt. Another great show from the team at BTN. Great keeping up to date with the latest technology news. One of the best tech podcasts I've found. Got a mix of keeping you up date, but in an informal way and to a fine art. So you and the host reads out all reviews. So let's put this to the test.
Wow, okay.
My name is Ewan Rankin, and I wear women's underwear.
You know, do it if they're comfortable. More power to you. Also, I bet you look really nice in lace.
What size is your bra, mate?
Keep up the good work, guys. Thank you, Matt, you bastard.
For future reviewers, you need to put in Alexa, order me.
No.
Alexa, order me.
Oh, please, more reviews on that, please.
Cancel. Bloody cancel. No, just say cancel.
Cancel.
I've a really sad life. Please, everyone write in every week and tell you what Ewan should wear, please.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Little clamps next week, please.
I've seen Ewan wearing a bra on his head, says Batwinch. I don't remember that.
Yeah,
I think it was hers. Must have been a good party.
It was hers. That's right. A purple one. That's right.
Your head was that big. You couldn't get in it.
I could get to. People have said that I'm a bit of a tit on occasion, but I wasn't big enough. Clearly, not on that kind. The thing is, this is what I find really strange, right? So someone writes in a review and said, Ewan is often provocative and a strong anchor. And then someone else writes in, a self-righteous sod at times. That can't be both.
You know when it says anchor?
Yeah. I think you mistyped that. Got you.
The typo.
Autocorrect.
Princess Bagel constantly complains.
Come to the bash, like, retro, and then you'll realise that I'm everything that you said I was.
And more.
Once your nose stops bleeding. right, okay, cool. Thanks to UK2, because they look after us. They've done a great job over the last 9 years, and they're going to do a great job over the next 7 years, picking up the tab on all the servers that we run, all of the data that we store. We have shit that we've made for the last 8 years that is on the server, which you can download and listen to. It's all there. It's all categorized. And periodically as well, thanks to UK2 and thanks to Anders, who wrote the software to do it, we've got the NQL server, which plays old shows from the past at random. And there have been some absolute gems. I Must Not Drink While Podcasting, Debbie McGee's Five of Spades, and so on. If you get a chance, have a watch of the NQL during the week. There's some old stuff there, back when I had no beard and a good head of hair and far more youthful looks than I currently have. And that goes for all the rest of the idiots on this show as well. And there's quite a few people who don't even come on the network anymore on there. Blast from the past. Thanks to UKQ for doing it. If you go to britishtechnetwork.com/UK2, if you want to sign into your account, that's all you've got to do. And also make sure you use the offer codes as well at britishtechnetwork.com/sponsors. You get 20% off your basket potentially. And tweet out, thanks for supporting British Tech. At UK2, and they'll retweet it and they'll say thanks very much, it'll be good. Excuse me. And thanks to Hoya as well for supporting us. They gave us a Mac Mini for the Skype wall, and Unica, the new glasses will be out, new Uniku, I always get it wrong, they're going to be out after Christmas, so I'm going to go and get my face measured on the machine and all that kind of stuff, and I'll have a brand new pair of glasses from
Big Machine
to review. Big Machine, thank you, mate. Yes, there we go, because it's a big head, although it's not as big as one of, no, moving on. And we'll have all of that, and we'll video it all, and it'll be put on the shows, and it's going to be great fun. If you think, well, no, I don't want a frame, I like the Avantech ones that you've got on, all you've got to do is send an email to podcast@hoya.co.uk and say where you live, and it could be anywhere in the world. And Mark will pick that email up, he'll forward it on to the relevant people in your local area. Someone will come down with the whole shebang on, and they'll measure your face using the iPad and the prism and stuff like that, and help you get your glasses perfectly fitted. They're absolutely superb. Please check out Hoya. Right. Time for the cool things, chaps. Alistair, do start us off.
Okay, this one's not terribly new, and you may have seen it before, but it's a USB stick. Look at that. A USB stick.
I remember those. It's
the DataShore Pro. Look, they even sent it with my name on it.
Oh, they're looking for a good review.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
So, whether you get a good review, but here's the trick. Look.
It's actually a calculator. No, it's got a key on it. Right, got you.
It's got numeric keys on it, so I can, if I lose it, supposedly, no one can get anything from it. Only me, because I know the code. It's a minimum of 7 digits.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's got telephone letters on it, so if you can think up a password and remember that instead, it's quite nice.
Brilliant.
Of course, the problem is that I've now forgotten the code, so everything that I put on here is actually unreadable. I'm going to have to just wipe it and start again.
So you can reset it.
Resetting it's really easy. But it comes in various capacities, but I thought it was interesting because I thought, wow, USB stick. It's
cool.
Just like every other USB stick, except it's 5 times bigger, but actually it's quite rugged. The case is metal and...
What size?
Although it's interesting enough to mention.
That's what she said.
It's good. What size is it in terms of capacity, I mean?
Oh, right, okay. This one's
4 gig.
60, I think.
Oh, 64, that's not bad then.
Yeah, no, let me see. What do they do? So they do, yeah, that's the top one. Yeah.
They sent you a 2 gig demo model and you can't remember, you can't remember the password, you just can't get anything on it anymore.
Actually, no, I've just looked on the back, it's the 8 gig one.
Oh, bad review for them then.
Well, look, you know, they're not cheap, but then, well, they're not cheap at all. I mean, compared to one you get at Wilco's, but still.
It's, how much it's do they rush you?
Sorry?
How much would they rush you? How much would they rush you as a price?
What, is that even English? So how much would they rush you?
Well, yes. What's the cost of it?
Is that what you, how you say it in Birmingham?
Oh, dear, Alistair. How much
would they rush you?
You're lucky I can even read. Now, I live in Birmingham. Come on, mate. How much is it going to cost?
Well, this one, I've just put the link, actually, to the costs, but £69.
Oh, for 8 gig?
Yes.
It's not that good.
You got that free?
Well, until they ask for it back, but no one's going to ask for it back. We've got my name on it.
I might not speak very well, mate, but I'm not going to sell the cow for the magic beans. Christ.
So it's probably not a consumer product, is it? It's for government ministers who leave it in the backs of taxis.
Very good. Capacity's up to 64 gig.
Yeah. And 64 gig's 130 quid.
Jeez. So you're effectively you're paying 130 quid for a keypad.
Yeah, but it's not just a keypad. The keypad does something.
Okay.
Did we talk from ZX Spectrum?
Yeah, it's just supposed to be extra secure.
It's good. No, it's great. Innovation. It's like an Apple product, really. Ludicrous price, however good it is.
Well, wait till you see the Surface Phone.
Oh dear, yeah. Good pick, thank you. Even if it was torturous for me to get there. And he makes me feel inferior. It's just because he's been to the Design Museum and I haven't.
Get the rush on some other people.
Jeffrey, what have you got?
All right, I have a coat for you because we're coming into winter. And I actually have it right here. It's from Scotty Vest.
Ooh.
And it's really hard to show a jacket like that on a little screen.
Well, there's no point for me, mate, because if you're any way slightly padded, there's nothing that Scott Evest do that fits me.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I should have picked something else today. Sorry about that.
No, because there's plenty of people who aren't fat who listen to the show.
Well, okay. So then in that case, The jacket is loaded up with enough pockets. I haven't tried to completely load it with all my stuff yet, but it has enough pockets so that you should be able to carry your laptop, your phone, an iPad, and a few other things inside the jacket, all tucked away in pockets.
So much in there. That's like a bulletproof vest then.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, once I really do load this thing up completely to see what I can put in it, if I'll be able to stand up straight.
Just see Jeffrey going over backwards.
Yeah, you know, don't push me because I'll just go down hard. But, you know, it's got all these little channels you can route your cables through. It's got a place to put a spare battery so you can be charging your phone while it's in your pocket and stuff. And it's comfortable. So it's a nice, lightweight winter coat that has a bunch of pockets, feels nice, and there you go. This is the first Scotty Vest product I've ever had, and I've had it for a couple of weeks now, and yeah, it's a nice jacket. So if you're looking for something like this, there you go. And they're on sale right now. They're usually like $220, and right now they're $150, and they come in men's and women's sizes.
But not you in size.
But not you in size.
But apparently not you in size. See what you did there. Well played.
Treble XL, according to the site.
Yeah. Dreaming.
When you get to five.
Close sizing has gone through the floor. It is disgraceful. There's some stuff that's 2XL that fits me, and then there's stuff down at Wasps that's 5XL that I can't get on. It's just ridiculous.
That's just, yeah.
So there needs to be a standard for sizing.
It should be.
So the show ends, but I got a message. I have to go take care of some family stuff.
Go for it, mate. No problem at all. See you soon. Thank you.
So I have to bail out. But hey, it's been great being here.
See you, mate. Jeff. Take care. Sorry about that.
Bye, Jeff.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Jeff, all right, see you guys.
Alan, what have you got for us?
I've got two things, actually. One is a Star Wars Rogue One Death Star keyring.
Hold it up. There we go.
How much more? Yeah.
Tilt it forward a bit.
But it also is a bottle opener. And
which
apparently
what they really need on the Death Star.
Yeah. Apparently says that I am a Death Star Special Forces member.
Does this infer that there's a Death Star in Rogue One? Because if there is, I'm not going to bloody see it, because they've done enough of the Death Star. Bollocks. I'm not having it anymore.
Well, but remember, they're stealing the plans for the Death Star, aren't they, in Rogue One?
According to the trailer,
of the Death Star, at least.
God. Is there going to be a bit where they fly a TIE fighter down a really steep bit?
I don't know.
This is the stealing the plans for then, you know, Leia and R2 to have the plans to get captured by Vader to lead on to the original.
Right, okay.
You know, the original trilogy.
Isn't that a spoiler? Ooh, what's going to happen? Oh. Will they get the plans? Maybe not.
No. Of course
You're
not.
Right, that would suggest, although this could be the team that failed, and then a different team actually got the
plans. It's like Titanic. Will it sink?
Actually, in this movie, it's not the Force that gets it. It's the Americans. They change the story.
So if anyone wants, needs a Death Star bottle opener keyring, it's on Prime, Ewan, and it's only £5.74 at the moment. So, you know, not expensive, and you can always do with another bottle opener, can't you?
What are you inferring?
Nothing, Ewan. The other one I wanted to just show was I have a USB keyring here, a USB flash drive.
Yeah,
SanDisk. It's a little SanDisk model. The key thing is that it's a dual-ended. So slide the thing, and you've got micro USB or normal USB. And obviously it slots back into its case for thing. And that one is not quite as expensive as Alistair's, in that this one is £6.70 for a 16 gig. Or if you want 64 gig, it's going to cost you £15.
Okay, but it's not okay for government ministers who leave important information in the back of a taxi.
No, they would need to use software encryption, which sounds complicated for them, doesn't it?
Whilst on the way to a mistress who is also a prostitute.
Are you talking French politics?
Carrying a bag of oranges and some ladies' tights. Not that I've done that, you understand.
No, you wear them.
Good picks. Righty boy.
Well, I didn't ever think I'd say this again, but my pick is Firefox. Which is Firefox Focus, which is the new secure encrypted browser from Firefox, which is on iOS.
He's picking that well-known Tom Clancy film we cleased into it, because no one had picked Firefox browser.
No, not at all. But the great thing about it is you haven't got to use it. You install it, because you know when content blockers were all the rage a little while ago,
yeah,
with iOS 9, and you should pay for them and all that sort of thing. Well, I didn't realize that Firefox had released one. So they released one and no one really picked up on it. So they made their own browser. You download this browser, but it hooks into Safari. So if you go into the content blocker part of Safari and settings, the Firefox blocker stuff goes in. So you get a free kind of content blocker for absolutely nothing. Plus a secure browser, which if you go to a website and you're like looking for the wife's presence, all those sort of things, you can delete your history straight away. So it's actually quite fast, because it's blocking ads and trackers and all those sort of things, and well worth a look for free.
So if you're someone from the government and you want to book the next appointment with your mistress.
Exactly.
Perfect. Right, okay. I got it. No worries. Good man. Patrice, what's your cool thing?
My cool thing is another podcast. It is a podcast from NPR called How I Built This. And it's really about, founders of well-known companies talking about, or well-known brands talking about how they came up with their idea and what they did to get it to where it is right now. The last episode I remember was the founder of Southwestern Airlines, for example, and there was, I think, the lady that created Spanx. I think there are 6 or 7 episodes out right now, and it's really, really interesting because they, I mean, it's not marketing about what, I mean, how cool the company is and how cool the product is. It's really in deep story, really deep in going deep into their backstories and the, also the bad parts. I mean, if you have a startup, how it can really get bad, and I mean, how close they came to, canceling it or whatever they did, and it's how they made it a success at the end. So it's a really cool podcast. It's free, as every podcast, and it's from NPR, so you know it's also very well produced.
Yeah, NPR do some good stuff. Well, they don't do it frequently enough. They started that one More Perfect at the start of the summer, and they haven't made another one.
That one is also pretty good. Yeah.
Well, it was. Yeah. Where's it gone? Excellent. Muller, what's your cool thing?
I've just posted it. It's not really a tech item. I just want to give this company a shout out because I bought some dishwasher salt off this company on Amazon.
Of course.
Oh, it's good value, but it came broken, and I had a whinge on there, and they sent me another bag. And I just want to give them a bit of a shout out. But
they didn't have the first bag back, and they insisted on sending you another bag regardless.
Yeah, and I lost about 2 kilos of it. I mean, it's 25 kilos. I've now got 50 kilos. Well,
you've brought 10 kilos over to me.
Yeah, because I had that much. I've still got a bag or two to box up. But anyway, I just want to give them a bit of shout out. If you look, £12.19 for 25 kilos. How much do you pay in the shops for a little bag?
I couldn't tell you.
£7.
Really? Okay. So Hydrosoft salt granules, 25 kilograms, being sold by Hydrosoft in the Amazon store, and it's £12.19 for 25 kilos.
Yep, that's got to be good value.
Really good price.
50p a kilo, eh?
Yeah, and if an MP leaves that in the back of a taxi, you'll notice.
he'll erase all the information.
Yeah.
Oh, excellent. Right, where can we get a hold of your chaps, Mr. Dabs?
Okay, as ever, you can read me at the Register. I've just put in a link there to read the past 4 years of my columns. My column comes out on Friday morning, so this week's is already there, so you can have a look now.
Excellent, mate. Jolly good. Jeffrey is at JGamut on Twitter and everywhere else. If there's a podcast, Jeff Gamry's on it, so there you go. where are you, Alan?
Best place to find me is at Digital Amoeba on Twitter. Plenty of other places, but that's a good start.
Good man. Thank you for coming on. Sorry I got my wires crossed. I'm crap at this stuff. Next in, Righty, where are you, buddy?
Well, before I start, I'd just like to say a quick thank you to everyone who sent us all the reviews for BTN in the last few weeks. We did a call out the last couple of shows, and people have sent us some really great reviews. We were posting at the moment. We've got a little bit of a backlog at the moment because you're also awesome. But give you an email, britishtechnetwork@gmail.com, if you've got a review, and we'll get it posted and give you the old credit. Apart from that, I'm at Pawns on Twitter in the Slack room and moderating the old posts at britishtechnetwork.com.
Good man. Excellent. Good job on the stuff. We will take a review from anybody, won't we? So anyone that's got anything, write it and send it in. We'll sub at it.
Even
from Muller. Muller can post by himself without any restrictions. That's what's worrying.
He gave me the password. Yeah.
Patrice, where are you, mate?
Almost every week on the Mac Show here on BTN, and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
Excellent, mate. And Muller?
Yeah, I can be found as Muller Biker on Twitter, in the Slack room, and I occasionally write unedited reviews for BTN.
I edit them.
You not edit them. Like, shit.
Fair enough. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. Don't forget our new show times. If you want to come and watch live or join in, then you got the Mac show is on Fridays at 4 p.m. and then the big show is on Fridays at 8 p.m. and if you want to come in the studio and be here and hang out, you can come down. It's not a problem. Get yourself down here in time for the live shows, and you can come for a curry in between them as well with us. No worries at all. Every Friday we'll be here. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.